What I'm going to be speaking about today is related to a report that my colleagues Nadia Siddiqui and Jonathan Pirtle and also Lisa Duchon released a few months ago, where it focused a disparities lens on healthcare reform and the Affordable Care Act. The idea is that you may have seen some information that has come out on disparities related implications from the Healthcare Reform Act. What we said is let's just focus expressly on the issues related to race, ethnicity, culture, cultural competence, language assistance within the law. And I think for those who are not familiar with the specificity embedded within the law, it's quite amazing actually as to how much is actually included. And that's what we'll discuss briefly, with a focus also on public health issues. So let me see if I press this way.
Wait, you can just left click.
Left click? Oh, I'm sorry. So what I'd like to speak about today is to identify both general provisions that are relevant to race, ethnicity, and health, as well as get into the provisions that are specific to those concerns, those priorities. And then to what we did in our report that we have in the back is take it another step. Instead of just identifying what we said is let's assess just briefly the status and then the challenges and opportunities that are related to health reform and the actual moving to the next step. So it's not just saying, okay, it's there and this is what it looks like, but saying, what does literature say to date? What does information to date say about these different provisions and what actually needs to be done? And then in our appendix, we included a template as to date when the report was released on timeline information, federal agency responsibility, allocations or appropriations to date that had been identified. So for those who are interested, it's provision by provision. So those who are interested in looking at a specific provision saying, I'd like to track and see what dollars might be available or who's responsible, or I'll be on the lookout for this provision because it's an area of interest for service or research or policy, then that's also included in the report. So what we did is we broke our report down into 12 provision areas. So you can see within the general priorities, we have health insurance reform, access to health care, quality improvement, cost containment, public health initiatives, and social determinants of health. And again, those are in the general provisions, and we selected out ones that we thought were specifically relevant to race, ethnicity. And then we identified race, ethnic specific provisions that are related to data collection, workforce diversity, cultural competence, education, organizational support, health disparities research, initiatives and prevention, and then addressing health disparities and health insurance reforms. And so what I'd like to do is, in the brief time I have, is to go through fairly quickly to give you at least a snapshot of what's there. For those who either want other copies of this report or don't talk to me directly about it, they're on the Joint Center for Political and Economic Studies website, the Joint Center for Political and Economic Studies, you can access the report directly. They're the organization that funded us along with Kellogg Foundation. So in the general provisions, we identified at least three dozen that have direct relevance to, we think, to race, ethnicity, and health. I think some of them will be self-evident by the information, by even the little snippets of phrases that we've included in here. Under health insurance reforms, and again, we have them identified provision by provision, requiring individual coverage, expanding Medicaid eligibility to 133%, in places like Texas, where I've now moved to, where the federal poverty, it covers up to 20% of the federal poverty level. That's quite a leap from 20% to 133%. A few other states are going to be in that situation as well. The employer coverage requirements, small business, increasing federal matching rates, you get a sense of the different provisions. And I'll give you another example on small business. This is extremely important for diverse populations that are managing and directing small business, as 90% of the businesses owned by minorities are small businesses. So any subsidies related to small businesses are godsends and essential, really, for them. Temporary high-risk pools, multi-state options, et cetera, you can get a sense of the flow. Within improving access to care, there's support for community health centers that was mentioned today, which is major and really a quantum leap in a lot of ways. Nurse-managed health centers, community health teams, redistributing graduate medical education slots, extending authorization of National Health Service Corps, teaching community health centers where there's a link with academic institutions or community health centers to excel and move move the those who are learning into a situation where they can actually be more grounded in reality in a lot of ways. Innovative models of Medicare and Medicaid, school-based health centers, on and on. Under quality improvement, you have a number of provisions. Again, I won't go down the whole list here. Strategies for quality improvement down to Medicare payments for quality and pediatric accountable care organizations, one of the courant phrases these days. Cost containment. There are interoperable systems of enrollment where information will be made available across different settings. Reducing Medicaid DSH payments and Medicare, which is at least a yellow flag in terms of moving ahead in this environment. Demonstration projects for HIT and other programs as listed. Public health prevention, social determinants. Again, there are a whole list, including public health funds, new methods for scoring prevention wellness, transformation grants on the social determinants side and health impact assessments. Nonprofit community needs assessments will come up as well as hospitals will take on that responsibility to conduct needs assessments. The examples of public health opportunities that are related to equity, I mean, there are many, many that you could choose, but we identified a few here for this presentation that we feel directly relate to diverse populations. So, for example, for the National Prevention and Public Health Council, they will provide coordination and leadership at the federal level for public health and other services to consider evidence-based models. This is a major thrust. Policies and innovative approaches for transformative models of public health, so ones that will move beyond the traditional into more innovation. Specific to race ethnicity, within the Community Preventive Services Task Force, there are requirements and recommendations that must address specific population needs, economic and physical environments that have broad effects on health disparities. For community transformation grants, again, these transformation grants are awarded to state and local government agencies, community-based organizations for implementing, evaluating, disseminating evidence-based community preventive health activities. Addressing health disparities is, again, specifically worded in the provision. Now, those are the general provisions that we've identified, there are others, I'm sure, but we feel that those are really the ones that are concentrated. But we've identified over three dozen specific provisions that are related to race, ethnicity, and health. These encompass and focus expressly on race, ethnicity, and health, and they provide opportunity and direction and insight into the fundamental underpinnings that are within the law. So, for example, for data collection and reporting, there are at least three provisions that we've identified requiring population surveys to collect race ethnic subgroup data, collect report disparities data in Medicaid and CHIP, monitor health disparities trends in federal funded programs. An example of a public health specific obligation and opportunity is that no later than 2 years after the date of enactment, any federally conducted supported public health program, activity, or survey must collect and report data on race, ethnicity, and primary language for applicants, recipients, and participants. I knew I could do it. Data must be sufficient to generate statistically reliable estimates. So it gets quite specific in that. Workforce diversity, there are at least four provisions related to workforce diversity. And again, within this, they say grants to promote public health dentistry, for example, shall give priority to applicants with experience in minority training, with emphasis on cultural competence and health literacy, and who have placements, notice the level of specificity, have placement experience in areas that serve health disparities populations. So they're getting down to very specific language, targeted language. On cultural competence, there is an effort to move to more concrete and more extensive engagement of training and education programs with, by insinuating and inserting cultural competence. For the example, for a public health obligation opportunity, cultural competency prevention public health grants established to develop, evaluate, and disseminate research, demonstration projects, and model curricula for cultural competency proficiency, prevention, public health proficiency, and reducing health disparities. Again, this is a significant quantum leap, should this come to pass for the field, as it's really struggled to develop an evidence base for cultural competence education and training. Health disparities research. There are a number of specific provisions that we identify here and actions, such as the National Center for Minority Health, health disparities being promoted to a national institute within NIH. A public health obligation and opportunity, the patient-centered outcomes research institute will identify national priorities for research addressing practice variation and health disparities in terms of delivery and outcomes of care. And again, that level of specificity. Health disparities prevention, you have again five, six provisions that are related to oral health campaign, drug labeling, maternal and child health home visiting. Again, there's another specific provision on public health, creating a public education oral health campaign with priority address oral health disparities in a culturally and linguistically competent manner. This kind of language was it was in some legislation before, but to see it as extensive as it is now is quite a step forward. And then finally, there are a number of provisions that related to addressing disparities in health insurance reform. Some of the issues that were brought up in the previous discussions around the roles of the consumer advocates and navigators are embedded in here and will have a linguistic and cultural component to them. Your points were very well taken. In closing, I just wanted to make a few general comments about what we feel really need to be advanced and more specified within healthcare reform. There's much that needs to be specified, but there are a number of provisions that we think really need to be taken much further. Leveraging support for community-based strategies, engagement of reducing disparities. This is a real opportunity to engage communities throughout the process, not to bring them in in some point where, as a colleague of mine said, you know, why are you folks from the academic side are always doing it to the communities? Why aren't we part of the activities, the initiatives from the beginning? And so the community engagement fully realized is extremely important. Promoting integrated strategies across health and social services to improve health of diverse communities. This gets at the social determinants, community transformation grants. But the importance here is taking it, again, that next step in terms of carrot and sticks related to interagency, interorganizational obligation to address disparities and improve care for diverse populations, rather than just throwing out an idea for a demonstration project that your future progress in terms of achieving goals is based on collaboration, that it becomes a real important component of action. Healthcare organizations, organization-based initiatives, one of the concerns we have is that healthcare organizations still don't have a sense of how to get from here to there. And there is concern that other pressures around market, around capital, on dollars will override efforts to embed diversity, disparities reduction initiatives into organizational actions. So there is a need to develop models and test models that link specific organizational efforts to reducing disparities for improving quality of care, not just incentives on specific in specific areas. The idea that you take your community needs assessment benefit requirements that's embedded and tie it to addressing disparities. Not just do the assessment, but the nonprofit organizations that benefit tax-wise, that they would actually have the opportunity to, or the obligation really, to say, okay, well, we know, we can identify, you've taken this step to say that there are disparities. Now, what are you doing to address those disparities? And again, there would be a carrot stick tied to addressing an identified need. And then obviously preserving and transitioning the healthcare safety net. There's great concern for community health centers, for public hospitals, for those large hospitals, or those other hospitals that serve a safety net role, is diminishing dollars from disproportionate share and other resources. I see that in Texas now, where some private organizations, foundations have started to say, hey, that individuals at a local or provide services for indigent populations are saying, why do you need us anymore? You know? So they're going through their own review, especially since some of those boards will be conservative. They're out providing charity care. Now you've taken away our need, and there's a real need to understand that there will continue to be a great and significant need for a safety net. And then individual level initiatives need more of a focus on disease management, care management models, and as they affect diverse populations specifically. You see information about care model, disease management. I think as we go through and along this, the evolution of healthcare reform, that there's a great need to be specific about what might occur in these models, how you might shape these models so they're addressing needs specifically diverse populations. And then, as we thought about this, we're really concerned about the overweight obesity epidemic, in that it might very well mask progress in other areas as it overrides infant mortality issues or other efforts along the way. The concern here is that that lifespan might actually be decreased, and you've seen some information on that. In conclusions, there's a great breadth of opportunity in the Affordable Care Act to reduce disparities. However, for many provisions, they're a mile wide. We were shocked and amazed as we went through the Affordable Care Act and saw how much was covered in that act. And yet at the same time, there's concern about the depth right now because of the issues around appropriations. Allocations and federal agency roles are unspecified for many provisions. So when we did our analysis at early August, nearly two-thirds of the diversity-specific provisions lack specificity around appropriations. And about 1 in 10 had only short-term provisions. So what will the new Congress mean for public health efforts to eliminate racial ethnic disparities? We've already begun to see some concerns. Dan Hawkins was in the New York Times at the community health centers yesterday saying, we don't know what this climate's gonna bring. There is an article in Texas in the Austin American Statesman just a couple of days ago saying the legislature down there, what are they thinking of doing? They're thinking of introducing new legislation to just pull out of Medicaid entirely. Good old Texas. Progress, moving backward. Next steps, education around specific language for priority areas, working with representative associations and organizations to educate and discuss strategies. These are steps that we need to keep in mind. Appropriations, assuring adequate funding for provisions, tracking timing process rollout, and communicate with agencies likely to oversee, identify priority areas about status and progress in adding content. And this is us. And this is my disclosure.